makes you feel he's the coolest sex with a heart of steel.
An Iron Man, all jets of flame. He fights and fights with his ultimate brain. Amazing armor.
Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. We are your hosts. I'm Walter Dralia, and I'm joined by Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Help me, Chris, please.
Walt, are you sure you know who you are? Well, listen, as always, it's great to be here. And tonight we are joined, sorry, this afternoon, I should say, we are joined by our two guests. The first is Mike Laidman, and he is here to talk about his comic book. And he is also joined by his agent, Miss Laura Thomas. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Walter, so today is, of course, Wednesday, our favorite day of the week, and means the new comic books are coming out today. And so why don't we start us off with a little bit new this week. And, of course, new this week is brought to you by V for Vodka. Whether you want to blow up Parliament or simply give the middle finger to the government, this is the drink for you. V for Vodka, the vodka for anarchists.
Good work, Chris. Chris, like you said, today is Wednesday. Today is that the new comics hit the stands today at your local comic book store. So please, everybody, head into your local comic shop. Support your local comic shop. Today, pick up Superboy number one. This is written by Jeff Lemire and art by some guy named Pierre Gallo.
Okay, Pierre Gallo. Yeah, well, of course, we know Jeff Lemire was recently at Big B, your store, a while ago, doing a signing. And he is a good Canadian boy. And
guy that did Sweet Tooth.
He did Sweet Tooth.
Did, and, Essex County.
Yeah. So, and now he's working for DC. He started off as sort of an independent kind of guy, and now he's working for DC doing his own thing. And I think that's fantastic.
Now, you're the guy here, though. You're the DC fan.
Yeah, okay, sort of, yes.
As Superboy at this moment in time in the DCU.
Yes.
Is there anything happening
There's
with
really
him?
Not a whole lot going on with any kind of Superboy-ish kind of title. I mean, usually he's at least connected with a Legion of Superheroes type comic book or something like that, and I haven't seen anything to do with Superboy in a long, long time.
Right.
Now, granted, maybe I'm out of the loop. Maybe there's some sort of appearance that I'm missing out on or something, but I haven't seen anything from Superboy in a while.
Right, so it's Smallville and then...
Smallville and that's
nothing.
It. I think even Crypto has a comic in the Johnny DC line, and Superboy does not.
It's come to that.
Yeah, it really is. Crypto has more of a say than Superboy does.
All right. Mike, do you read DC? Or?
Occasionally, on and off. Depends on what it is. I'm usually, if it's DC, I'm hitting up Vertigo or something along those lines.
Right, it's definitely not Superboy, though. Right?
No. Last I thought he was dead.
Whoa! This is a startling revelation.
Laura, are you a fan of Superboy at all?
No, but I'm a huge Jeff Lemire fan, so I'm going to pick it up for that reason alone.
Now, are you a big Jeff Lemire fan because you got a chance to meet him, or is this...
I've been a fan since I read Essex County a while back. I read Sweet Tooth religiously. After meeting the man a couple times now, too, like... Even more so, he's just the nicest guy, really appreciative to his fans. So I'm definitely going to be supporting his new book.
Very good. Well, that's good to hear. Well, hopefully we should all go out and check out Jeff Lemire's new Superboy title.
Yes, Superboy number one hits stands today. Also from DC today, JSA All-Stars number 12.
Yes. Okay. And you know what? I know there's a lot of people out there who are not a big fan of JSA, but you know what? I love the JSA. I think JSA is a great series, and why not have the JSA have two series? They've got the JSA, and of course they've got the JSA All-Stars.
Right, because there's two, JSA and JSA All-Stars.
Yep.
So a bunch of has-beens.
Okay, whoa.
Two titles.
Whoa, hold on a second here. First of all, they're not a bunch of has-beens.
Beep,
back up a minute here. Without these original JSA characters, we've got the Golden Age Flash, Golden Age Green Lantern, you know, Hawkman.
Golden Age.
These characters started the comic book industry, basically. And so why not have these characters have their own title?
I have nothing to say.
That's right, because they're good enough to support their own title. And now, granted, I'll give you that, you know, it does support a lot of B-list characters But sometimes those B-list characters have spawned into their own
have
title.
Feelings too. Is that what you're going to say?
That's right. You know, let's feelings. Nothing more than JSA feelings.
Well, now I'm surprised. First of all, JSA All Stars has come to 12.
Well,
but. Obviously, what's the other JSA is like up to 60 or something.
Oh, well,
like
yeah, and it actually that even that was like a restart. Like, I mean, they stopped it and they started it again. So it's been going on.
So
for a long
how
time.
Are they doing the JSA? Are they tying it in with like the JLA? Are they tying it in with the
it's
popular?
It's kind of like sometimes when it's convenient they'll tie it in, but not always all the time.
So like, it's kind of like standalone title.
Yeah,
it's doing pretty good.
Yep,
and it's got a good core.
But sometimes they'll tie it in with the other JSA. Sometimes they'll tie it in with the other JSA titles. Like it's kind of like one of those titles where they'll have their own storylines, but when then DC wants everything to be tied in, so they'll get more readership for the other stories, they'll sort of, you know, make it like a cross-spanning issue or something like that, where it's in like two or three different issues for the same storyline.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on. Let's go to Marvel, where Warriors 3, number one, hits the stands today.
Now, of course, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Warriors 3, these are, of course, part of the Asgardian heroes, often appeared in the Thor comics.
Yeah.
And
these are really, like, awkward-looking guys. One guy's a real fat dude with kind of – he wears I don't know, like 17th century French fencing clothes or something.
That's right,
like that,
yeah.
Right?
I believe he has a hat with two feathers coming out the top.
Yeah, he's got a hat with two feathers. And this is like quality stuff, apparently. And who else is there?
Well, there's the tall, thin guy, of course, and then there's like the normal guy. It's kind of like, you know, they kind of took all the stereotypes and put them
in. Well, there's Hogan. Yeah, Fandral
and Volstagg. Yeah. Sad that I actually know these names, but
yeah, it is sad.
Yeah, I know.
But the good news, I guess, is that Bill Willingham is doing the writing.
Well, of course, Bill Willingham for. Those of you who it's good that he's actually doing this because he's very, very good with mythological kind of characters because, of course, he started the whole Fable storyline as well. And, of course, he did very well with that. And that went on to do Jack of Fables as well. So Bill Willingham is good with the whole sort of mythos and
stuff
like that.
Well, I think he's a great pick, too, because he's really famous and he doesn't want to get tied to a title for more than, say, three or four issues, which is probably all this will last.
Oh, come on now. You know what? You never know what these good writers will do. Come on now. Don't be like that. You know, who knows how... If I had told you that Fables, a comic book about, you know, like Snow White and the Three Little Pigs and stuff like that, if I had told you that there was going to be a comic book about this that it would have lasted of this long, you probably would have laughed at me.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Mind you, you laugh at me all the time, so I don't think there's anything new there.
Okay, Laura, you read Thor. Or like,
off
you know
on.
Off and on.
Yeah.
Right. Now, have you ever heard of the Warriors 3?
Heard of, but not seeing too much to know much about them. No.
Right. Does issue 1 excite you in any way?
Yes, lots.
Good. Very diplomatic, Laura. All right, let's leave Marvel there. And I have one more new this week that everybody should check out. Hitting your local comic book store today is Panda Man to the Rescue, graphic novel number one.
Okay? Panda Man.
Yeah, from Viz. So it's like a manga-ish title.
That's not surprising that the Viz is producing a book called Panda Man.
And the caption, what captured me is the write-up. The caption is, "What's red, white, and farts all over?"
You know, this is just sounds terrible. You know, I don't even. Okay, hold on. I'm probably not the best person to talk about this because I'm not much of a manga
a farter
type fan.
Right.
So I'm gonna diffuse this question to either one of our guests.
To Mike. I think Mike has words on it.
Well, yes. Clearly, Panda Man is going to be so successful because of the farting aspect. Because that. That is the high class humor right there. If you want to go for that,
right? And the rating is what?
A is 6 and up or something like
so
that.
So
right?
they've picked it perfectly. If they did a farting type comic with for adults or teenagers, it would be like Yawn. But 6-year-old boys,
they're gonna love
a farting
it.
Panda.
Yeah. Okay, but hold on.
Why didn't I think of this?
You know, you're absolutely right. Why didn't we think of this? I mean, we could be millionaires by now just by having a comic book about a farting panda.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible.
Next year, we come out with the koala bear burping book.
There you go.
There we go.
I like
perfect.
It.
I
like write that down
yes,
before
write,
we
write
forget.
That down. Copyright right. it. Okay.
All right. Listen, that is going to be it for new this week because we have our guests and we have a busy show. So, Chris, I think there's a musical interlude coming up.
There sure is.
Hit me.
Banner, belted by Gamma Ray, turned into the Hulk.
Neon Gamma Ray,
wrecking the town with the power of the bull.
Ain't no monster clown who is as lovable
as ever-loving Hulk. Hulk.
All right, well, that, of course, was the Incredible Hulk theme song that came out. Geez, you know what? It came out from 1966. There was a long series of Marvel different cartoons that came out a long time ago from the 1960s. And actually, our opening today was from Iron Man, and that was, of course, the Hulk.
Good work, Chris. Chris, and it brings us to industry news. And here this week to read the sponsor for industry news is Mike.
Industry News is brought to you by Heroes for Hire. Do you need something punched or kicked by Power Man or a flaming fist? Then consider hiring the Heroes for Hire. Mention hearing this ad and get two things punched for the price of one.
I love it. Love it, Mike, especially how you butchered it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Now you're part of our show.
Yes.
Part of the game. Whatever, you butcher our sponsors.
All right.
Hey, you know what? I'd like to point out that not once have we had a repeat sponsor on our show.
I got a better one too. Not once has a check come in from the sponsors we read. So there. All right. Listen. We're going to go on to industry news. Guys, I want everybody's input. Just chime in whenever you feel like it, please. The Schuster Awards, the Joe Schuster Awards, which awards Canadian comic stuff.
Creativity, yes. Creativity and talent.
And talent, yep. They are, for the first time next year, help me out here. They're going to Calgary, June 18th, to be part of the Calgary Comic Con.
Yes, they're going to be part of the Calgary Comic Expo, and it's what they're trying to do. I mean,
Hold on, Chris.
Sorry.
When you say they, I don't know if the guests know, but okay. You are a member of the Schuster Committee.
I am. Yeah, I'm part of the Joe Schuster Committee, and I guess I can say now. I was going to say they before, but I guess I can say now. What we are trying to do is promote the Joe Schuster Awards all across Canada. This is a Canadian event, and a lot of times things become city centric, meaning we're all often Toronto centric. The things always happen in Toronto, like the big comic book show is in Toronto, the Beguiling TCAF is in Toronto. So everything seems to be always happening in Toronto. What we're trying to do, if we're going to promote Canadian content and Canadian comics, we want to try to promote all of Canada. So we're actually moving the awards ceremony to the Calgary Convention next year. And they're absolutely thrilled to have us. It's going to be a great event, and we're going to have lots of different guests and all kinds of things, so it's going to be fun.
Excellent. Now, Peter DeCourcy, who's the editor-in-chief of Comic Book Daily, he talked to Kevin Boyd, who's the...
He's the president of the organization, yeah.
Right. And he asked him a few questions on the thing. Now, Kevin mentioned that in 2012... You guys are thinking of Montreal and the Montreal Comic Con.
We've held the Joe Schuster Awards in Toronto for a few years now. I think it's 4 years, and now we're trying to branch off a little bit. And so we're going to think about going to we're obviously going to go to Calgary next year. We want to go to Montreal in 2012, and who knows where we're going to be after that? I mean, I know there's a show that's in Halifax now, so maybe we can be out in Halifax and see how that goes. We really want to try to promote all of Canada and not just be so centered in one area all the time.
Right. Now, Mike, are you familiar with the Schusters?
I am familiar with the Schusters. No. As far as I know, they exist.
Right. Now, later on, we'll get to your webcomic, but
yes.
They also have a category for Canadian webcomics.
Oh, okay. Like that,
yeah. So it's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, for our listening audience, for those of you that don't know, of course, the Joe Schuster Awards are named after Joe Schuster, who was the co-creator of Superman. And a lot of people, I mean, I think most people know that, but I mean, it's not widely known by everybody that, in fact, the co-creator of Superman was Canadian. So this is why we honor the estate of Joe Schuster, and we've named the award after him.
Yeah, well, you know what? Great ceremonies. Great, the gentleman's name, Jonathan Lear.
John Lear.
Yeah, he's the MC, and they're good. And I have a funny quick story. The last one I went to, there was some sort of, I'll say it, there was some sort of personnel issues at the Schusters where one of the members no longer was with the Schusters,
yes.
And there was a protest group outside protesting the fact of the change of directors and stuff.
Yes.
And so there's this big group of protesters out on the block, but so I'm going to the Schuster's, but I don't know where it is. So I see a bunch of people. I don't know what they're there for. I see a bunch of people and go, "Hey, guy, can you help me out? I'm looking for the Schuster's." Oh, pal, it's right there, right by that door. Thanks. You're welcome.
Yeah. Like
nicest demonstrators.
Oh, that's great. The guys that were trying to promote being against the Schuster Awards were actually telling you how to get in.
Are helping you to get in.
I'm sure he was. Have a good time.
But you know what? Isn't that the Canadian way, really?
It is,
you know,
it is very much.
It really is.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I got to move on. Guys familiar with Laura? John Carpenter, the director.
Yeah, of course.
Escape from New York, Halloween, does scary stuff.
Yeah.
Right, okay. You familiar with Dark Child, the comic? Apparently he's going to direct a Dark Child movie.
Oh, I see.
Thoughts on that. Give us your thoughts on that.
What's next, Witchblade?
Well, there was actually a Witchblade TV series already. And regular and live action. Yeah, yeah.
Now, Dark Child, I read a little bio on Dark Child. In the 90s, they say that Dark Child was outselling Spider-Man and Superman and Hulk.
Well, okay, I have to chime in here for a second here. Like, let's not forget that in the 90s, everything was selling because it was a speculator market, right? And not only was everything selling, everything that had, you know, I got to say, any kind of TNA that had a cover was on a cover was selling. So all your Lady Death comics, all your She, Vampirella, Dark Child, you know, whatever it happened to be, as long as there was, TNA on the cover, it was selling fairly well.
Okay, but Dark Child is still going. So somebody continues to buy it, and it obviously is good. No,
it's a much smaller market than it was in the 90s, because in the 90s you saw the emergence of the independent darker comics. The TNA, as Chris said, then they got really popular, but now they don't sell what they used to, and it tends to be the people who loved it in the 90s are still the ones buying it, not the ones who just read it for a while.
Right.
Well, I will say that Randy Quaid's artwork, he's actually a very good artist, and so he actually deserves accolades for his art. I just don't know if Dark Child actually deserves its own movie.
Yeah,
all I'm saying.
Has anybody seen the demo reel for it?
No, you know what? I haven't.
Oh, hold on. Our engineer is actually nodding his head saying that yes, he has.
Yeah.
You know what's great is that of the four people that are supposedly in the comic book industry here, the only one that's actually
engineer
seen it.
I've seen it. That's why I brought it up.
Okay, sorry.
I did check it out, and the effects are done by the guys at Weta. So if you were big fans of Lord of the Rings, I think Chronicles of Narnia, they did as well.
Right.
And they did props for a whole bunch of Halo commercials. There's a demo reel. You can watch it on YouTube. And there's this New Zealand guy that you see in all those behind-the-scenes featurettes in the Lord of the Rings movies, him talking about, you know, when, well, look at the armor. Well, here he's talking about doing Dark Child, and they show us a small clip. It's not very long. It starts off with actually an animated storyboard, and then it goes. They actually have a live action version of the same storyboard, and it's just like I guess it's supposed to be the first transformation of and like her arm changes into the monster arm, and she spreads wings for the first time, and it is very clearly a demo reel because it does not look very good.
Oh, okay.
The wings are very incomplete CG, but you know it gets you the basic gist of where they're going with it, and it looks pretty interesting.
Well, okay, my only thing is with this is I'm not too sure how viable a Dark Child comic book would be. In recent years, John Carpenter hasn't had a whole lot of hits with his movies. I think he did that vampire one with
James Woods.
James Woods. What was that called? I don't remember.
Yeah, I believe it was called Vampires.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, Vampires. Yeah, okay. So I think that was probably his most recent successful movie. Now, having said that, he has had a number of successful movies in the past. He started the Halloween franchise. He did The Thing. He's done a number of other different horror movies. I mean, The Fog and there's a Prince of Darkness. So there's lots of different horror movies that he's done. So certainly he is one. Is a great director to do a horror type movie. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Dark Child will actually, get somewhere. I don't know.
No, but you know what I like? I like, because who would have thought Dark Child is like for me, I guess, yeah. maybe I'm not up to date, but that's like left field. That's major movie coming out. It's like, Batman, Iron Man, Captain America, whatever. And they're making a big Dark Child movie.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And that's like, to me, it's like, what is next?
Well,
but you look at it, like, we went and saw Red last night, and it's based on a comic book that it seemed like nobody had heard of until this big movie came out, and it's doing very well at the box office, and it was an extremely enjoyable movie.
Well,
good point.
Yeah,
good point.
I don't know. I'm worried that, you know, what is the next comic book that they're going to make out of movies? Are they going to make a Kickers Incorporated movie where it's all about a football team that saves the world? Or, you know, are they going to make, like, I don't know, Wally the Wizard from Star Trek?
Warriors 3. the movie.
No way. There's no way they would ever make that.
No.
Yeah.
Batman.
No, yes.
Never.
Yeah.
All right.
What was the name of the superhero trucker? It was USA 1.
US 1. US 1.
Yeah, there we go. The superhero trucker.
They can do it like in a remake of Convoy.
But let's not forget that the superhero trucker also went out to outer space. So it was a superhero outer space trucker.
Oh, I like it. Yes. Oh, the USA 1 was a superhero outer space.
Yeah. Well, eventually it became outer space. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't he cameo in like a comic very recently?
Probably in some sort of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think
comic
I was flipping through some sort of Secret War. Something.
No, it could have been, yeah. They like
it was something real recent on the shelf I saw with US 1 in it.
Every once in a while, they like to bring up some of those old-timey characters out of nowhere and plop them in recent comics.
All right, guys. Who on Sunday night, who watched The Walking Dead?
We did.
Yes.
Right. And this thing was huge.
Hold on. I'd once again like to point out that the two guys that have the radio show did not watch The Walking Dead show.
Chris, it's on at 10:30.
I know. It's past my bedtime.
I
know. It's past my bedtime.
All right. I'm going to watch it when it comes to video.
I'm going to watch it when it goes on at 7 o'clock in the evening. So
right.
It's,
the after school.
Right. The after school version.
Yeah. What did you guys think? I mean, this was huge. This is everybody was waiting for this. Everybody was just high on this. So how did it go?
Well, definitely, I thought I was one that was waiting for this too. When I first heard about it, just in rumblings a long time ago, I thought that this would be a great idea for a TV show because it doesn't lend itself well to a movie. It lends itself better to the TV series
because of the ongoing thing of it.
That's what makes the comic so great. Is in the case of like a movie, you know, you see one scene with the characters and then credits, and then okay, whatever happened to any of those people, you never know. But the great thing about Walking Dead was it just kept going, and you just kept finding out what was going on, and that's why it's such a great concept for television. Because of that exact same reason, you just keep going on and finding more and more about it. And so I was waiting for this forever, and following the casting decisions, I was looking at the leaked YouTube videos that people took with their camcorders at the San Diego Comic-Con just to see any little clips that I could see. So I was ravenously waiting for this thing, and it did not disappoint. I was very happy with it. Right off the bat, the opening shot pre-credit sequence, it does something that's not in the comic. But it also shows you that this show is not playing around. Right away, it's got something shocking that just kind of is like, look, this is the tone we're taking with this show. So
beware.
Beware, yeah. And I was reading something today that it was the highest debut AMC has ever had for any of their shows.
Absolutely right. Now, okay, Laura, was it too graphic, or was it what you expected?
First off, I have to say, I think the very first article I wrote for Big B's Informer newsletter was my favorite comics that should be TV shows, and number one was The Walking Dead. So years ago, this is the show I said, or the comic I said this needed to be done.
You should be getting a cut.
I should be getting a cut for this, but I absolutely loved it. There were a few moments where I went, "Wow, they are going there with this TV show." But because of the station it's on and the time it's on, because it's late night on a Sunday, where anyone who shouldn't be watching the show should be long in bed. I feel they didn't go too far. It suits the tone of the book perfectly, and I can't wait for the next episode.
Wow. All right, Chris, for the next review, I mean, you and I should probably check this
Oh, come on.
I think we should start with reading one of the books.
Hey, well, I have read Walking Dead. I'm a big fan of the series. Oh, for sure, yeah.
All right.
It was Halloween, and I got caught up with the whole Halloween thing, and I just wasn't thinking straight. And
did you dress up?
I did not. I haven't dressed up in a few years, but I've actually, my girlfriend and myself have vowed that next year we're going to go to a party and do something for Halloween and dress up as something.
Beetlejuice and Lydia.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be happening.
That's what I said when she suggested that.
No.
It's
awesome.
All right. All right, listen, that Walking Dead segment is hot and heavy. So, Chris, can you take us into a little musical?
Yeah,
little
you know what? Here, I got something queued up here for you. I hope you like it. Hold on a second. Here's Zombie by the Cranberries.
Yes, that, of course, was Radiohead with Zombies.
That was the Cranberries with Zombie.
I meant the Cranberries with Zombies.
Yeah, I know. It's just all about, all these different heads and things like that. Yeah,
Chris, the second part of industry news is brought to you by the letter Z.
Letter Z?
Yeah, it just wouldn't be the same saying words like zombies and Eero and Amboni. I'd even have to call my cousin Elko. Thank you, letter Z.
How are we going to get paid, guys, if we keep screwing these things up? We will never get paid by the letter Z. I'm telling you right now. If we keep on screwing up our sponsors like that.
All right. Where were we? All right. Guys, The Dark Knight, the new movie, Dark Knight Rising.
Yes, the Dark Knight Rising. Yes.
All right, chime in.
Sounds like a Viagra commercial.
Yes.
Okay. Hey-o. Hey.
I'm reading on the internet. Apparently, they thought the Riddler would be the main villain, and now they're saying for sure, definitely not. It will not be the Riddler.
Yes.
Okay. Chris Nolan has told Hero Complex blog, obviously .com or whatever, that the Riddler will not be the next. But he hasn't said who will be the next. So this is what I want to talk about today. The next Batman movie.
Now, okay, the only thing I'll say is that from what I've read is that they don't want to go with a sort of maniacal kind of character again like they did with the Joker, because there's no way they can, you know, top the Joker and Heath Ledger's performance and all that. So they want to kind of go away from that. Now, having said that, who do you guys think that the next major villain, arch nemesis, Batman antagonist is going to be?
Well, I don't know about the main one, but I've heard casting rumors that they're looking for a woman with dark hair and such. And the rumor is Talia al Ghul, because of Ra's al Ghul being in the first one.
Right.
And maybe her getting vengeance. Now, it's just a rumor I've been hearing on the internet, and whether that's true or not. Or they're looking for maybe even just a different love interest. But the way the casting outline looks is a lot of people are speculating that Talia al Ghul will be there.
Now, of course, as soon as I hear that there's going to be like a dark-haired person, I mean, I immediately think Catwoman. Is there anybody talking about that at all?
A lot of people were hoping for it, but from what it sounds like Nolan has been saying, it's probably not going to happen. But he could just be like with the first one and the first two. He was trying to do what he could to throw people off the trail of what he's doing, so it could be the same thing.
Yeah, it's true.
The last rumor I heard was it's supposed to be the villain is supposed to be Clayface, which would be cool, but it just doesn't seem to fit the Nolan universe Batman.
No,
because
not
it's
at
very,
all.
Very, very serious universe with no, like, you know, nobody's punching through walls or anything.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
That's the dilemma, right, though? Because you don't want to try to replicate the seriousness of, like, the Joker and all that stuff. Where do you go? Like,
if
he tries to just do what he did all over again with another serious type character, it'll pale in comparison to what he did the first time. So this is the dilemma he's in. And that's why the talk on the net is, well, he's got to go to Plan B. He's got to go to a Killer Croc type thing or something like that.
I think going to a Killer Croc type character would be perfect, because it's completely unlike the other characters that have been in the series so far, right? So it'll be fresh and new and monstrous, really.
Okay, but here's the thing: if you're throwing money at this thing, right? If you're throwing $150 million, do you just do a U-turn and say, hey, we're gonna have a comedy-esque parody of the '60s type of thing or something like that? You know what I mean? Like,
well,
there's too much money riding on the Batman franchise. You're screwed if you try to go up against the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I could maybe see the Clayface if they went for a more realistic type of representation of it, rather than just a big blob of clay that can change shape, but something maybe someone who's been horribly disfigured, but like in a way that it's almost like his skin looks like he's melting and he's not that same, surreal type figure.
Yeah, I mean, if they decide to do a Clayface kind of character, they don't necessarily have to have a Clayface that's like, a giant blob kind of guy. I mean, there have actually been three different Clayfaces in the DC universe, and they could very easily go to one of those variations of the characters. And, originally it was supposed to be a stage performer, and so maybe they could go with something like that again, where he ends up doing stage performances again and something like that. Now, and Mike, do you have any ideas?
Well, they could do it like, because look how they reinvented the Joker. I mean, they had him as absolutely no, weird thing. There was no chemicals, like the origin where his skin was dyed. He did something with paint. They could do it in the, I'm thinking of House of Wax. Vincent Price is what I'm thinking of, where he's got this deformity and he makes like the mask, and he's always Clayface because he's always wearing masks or whatever as his disguises. It seems like that would be kind of a good direction to go with for the Clayface character.
All right. Okay, so everybody around the table. Go ahead.
The character that I was thinking that they might be able to do is the Zazz. Right.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
They did set him up in a previous movie too.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know the character of the Zazz, he's a serial killer type character who records the number of each of his kills on his body. Right.
See, I could see that as because he does throw in minor villains as well, and yeah. I could see that being a minor guy he does go up against. He's played minor roles in like Arkham Asylum, the video game that was quite popular.
Yeah.
He seems to be one of those characters that's better suited to, you know, showing up but not being the main villain.
Right, I agree.
Okay, so they're not going to do Ra's al Ghul again. What was that guy? Remember in The Hush, the storyline with Jim Lee? Who was that villain? There was
Hush?
Yeah.
That works. You know, something like that where it's more human to human.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
that
like
would be a great villain
right.
for yep. very realistic. Right. The backstory, learning more yep. about Bruce Wayne growing up, introducing some other characters even, like, easy to do.
I mean, I guess we're not going to, we'll probably never get a chance to see characters like the Penguin or anything
well,
like
no,
that.
Well, no,
right?
but like Laura just said, with Hush,
yep.
what he did was, he threw the other character. Like, you get a character that masterminds throwing all the other like the Mad Hatter or something like that.
Yeah.
All these villains that the smaller guys, and like, I don't know. And then you get the bigger villain behind all these other villains. So in the same movie, you get like five or six villains.
That would be awesome.
That are kind of under the pay of this one.
Of one big villain kind of guy,
yeah. I don't know. So.
And maybe Danny DeVito can show up and reprise his role as the Penguin for you, Walt.
That would be cool.
As long as
Arnold.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we're talking cool, we got to talk Mr. Freeze and Ice to see you.
It all sounds so terrible. Let's get out of this topic, please.
All right, listen, I want to hit one more topic, and that is, guys, I don't know if you read this, video games are going before the Supreme Court. So basically, Arnold, good segue, guys. Okay, Arnold and California are going against EMA, which is some sort of video game organization, I guess. And basically, the gist of it is that Arnold wants to control the sale of very violent video games
right.
to minors.
Right.
Right now in California, I guess in most states, the only content that they're worried about is sexual content.
Right.
So they don't mind the kids playing these very violent video games as long as there's not a boob in it, right?
Yeah.
So I want you guys to weigh in because it is comic related because Stan Lee has stood up for the video games and he's coming against what he's calling censorship. Okay, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund has filed some sort of thing where they want to see the argument of the court case. Where are we here, guys?
Well, I have to throw in just right off the bat, Walt, as you said, with the whole sexuality and the games as well. As a woman, boobs are evil and should not be seen by anyone, anywhere.
That's
I think you can
know.
All agree.
Well, absolutely.
Yes, but no. What
I don't know about that.
No. Seriously, though, I think if parents have the right to choose what their children are allowed to see and play, and so if the parent goes to a video game store and buys an 18+ super violent, you know, guts being ripped out video game for their child. That's their choice as long as they're able to A, make an informed decision, and B, kids can't. I don't want an 8-year-old kid walking into EB Games and going, "Can I please have Halo Reach or Dead Space, where you do see uber violent content?" And you know, the person behind the counter going, "Okay, here you go." Like there's a rating on them for a reason.
Yes, Walt, you had your hand up.
Well, no, I was going to say. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to sound like such a super old fuddy-duddy here, but you know, the parent. I mean, if to me, just again, fuddy-duddy, I'll just spit it out and let it sit. If it's an ultra-violent video game and the kids are manipulating, you know, the hacking up of a body or whatever it is, and the kids are actually, you know, to me, common sense would dictate that that's probably not a good thing.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay? So to me, though, you know, if a parent feeds his child, lets him smoke a joint, the parent is legally liable. So in my view, Laura, if the parent gives this kid a video game that where he's, you know, happily hacking up bodies and cooking them in stews and stuff, you know, the parent should also be legally viable. So I'm for Arnold on this one.
No, I don't see, like, violence is proven to be more dangerous for children to view than sex.
Meanwhile, exactly.
But unfortunately, it's one of those things that falls under, at this point, people telling other people how to raise their kids. And what is better off at this point, because if you do that, there would be a bit of a hubbub-a-loo. But if you were to more make the rule, say, you know, someone at a video game store or like Future Shop, EB Games, if they're selling a parent this video game, A, it should be locked up, you know, with just the maybe a picture of the cover and a description on the back, not the actual case, with like a booklet they can look through.
Right.
And the person behind the counter is responsible to say to that parent, this game has this, 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 and fully explain that to the parent to make their own choice, because a lot of parents see it and go, okay, it's a video game, and don't realize that's the issue. I know the same thing goes with comics. I would tell a parent buying a comic based on a super violent video game, listen, this comic does contain this, 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 and this. And most parents at that point look at their kid and go, oh, I don't think so.
Right,
and
right. Say, but they would have bought it because they just don't know,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. And right. It's more about informing the parents about what the content is.
But, I mean, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that, I mean, as far as I know, all video games have a rating on them already.
They do.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So I don't understand. Like, I don't have kids, so I don't know what it's like. I don't know if a video game store like EB Games or Future Shop, will they sell a game that has a mature rating on it to a kid?
I don't know how that works.
This
is the way this reads, okay? The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in the state of California has struck down a law that restricts the sale of violent video games to children.
Okay.
Okay. So the court is saying that's unconstitutional.
Well, I think that's ridiculous.
All right. And this is the argument here. Mike, now you actually blog about video games, too. Can you weigh in on this?
Well, it really is going to come down because, like what Chris was bringing up about them actually selling them, the retailers, it really comes down to the salesperson and whether or not they give a crap.
Yeah.
I was at the mall yesterday. And I saw there was a GameStop in the mall, and it has right there on the slap, right on the front window when you're walking in, a sign that says, we enforce the age limits on these games. So if you want to buy these games, you know, we're going to enforce this. At the same time, I've also seen in the exact same store on a different date someone buying one of these games for their child. An example that Laura let out was Dead Space. There is a picture of a severed hand on the cover of Dead Space. And if the parent buying this it clearly was not paying attention, because, like I said, it's right there. It's a severed hand.
Right.
And
or,
they still,
or didn't care. Or didn't
yeah,
care.
Wait, but,
yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I don't understand how they can say this is unconstitutional. I mean, if they have a rating system for movies where kids can't go into movies if they're underage, if it's a restricted movie, how is that any different from this? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
This is another thing that the people are having a problem with this law is the very vague wording of what is considered violent content. Based on the wording in the document, Mario Brothers is considered a violent video game.
No.
It could be covered by this law, based on the very vague wording. So that's another reason why there's so many people so upset about it.
Right, right. All right. All right, listen, Chris, let's stop industry news. We got Mike and Laura to talk to still. Take us, please, Mr. DJ. We'll be right back. great stuff, Chris. That is the Superhero Samba by Herb Albert, and it's Tijuana Brass.
Actually, that was one of the many songs that we have from the Spider-Man cartoon from the 1960s. That one was, in fact, called the Master Technician.
Master Ooh. Technician. Yes. I like it. All right, guys. We are in the feature section of our show.
And, of course, we do have another sponsor for our feature section.
The next segment of our show is brought to you by Wayne Enterprises. What exactly do we make? Everything. And despite the fact that 90% of our R&D budget goes into creating new crime-fighting technology in the shape of bats, we really are here to provide the city of Gotham with toothpaste and DVD players. Wayne Enterprises, we are looking out for you.
Well, we might actually get paid for that.
Wow, we just might actually.
Without error.
That was almost too good.
Wow. You know,
I'm sorry, I can do it again.
Can you flub it a few times?
That is great stuff. Okay, hey, we're at the feature of our show. We have Laura, we have Mike here. We want to talk, Mike, first of all, we want to talk about what you're doing right now.
Yes.
You have a webcomic called Mike's Stupid Comics.
Yes. And we're just jumping right in for that. Okay. We've been working on that since about 2003.
Right.
So 7 years been going now.
What's the premise?
The premise is that it's about, oddly enough, it's about me. And it takes place, it used to take place in Hamilton. Now it takes place in Oakville. And the whole thing is that the character Mike has his archenemy Dave from high school. And Dave has teamed up with a walking pile of laundry that is evil, and they're trying to kill Mike.
You know, I got to say that of all the nouns, I didn't think that laundry was going to be one of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Walking pile of.
Yeah, walking pile of laundry.
It's a lot of people's favorite character is the talking shirt that's evil.
Excellent. Now, okay, so where can people pick up on your webcomic?
Well, they can go to msc.biscuitpress.com to see the latest.
MSC.
Mike's
Press.
Stupid Comics.
Yeah. Okay, right.
Just Google Mike's Stupid Comics. It takes you there. I used to own MikeStupidComics.com, and some guy sniped me and took my website.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding.
In hopes that maybe you would pay thousands of dollars
exactly.
for
it. Yeah. And he should have known better because it's a webcomic that I don't have thousands of dollars to give him. So we're at msc.biscuitpress.com right now. And you can also catch older pages at Comic Book Daily as well.
Excellent. And so where are you going with this? You've had this going for a few years. You got more things to say? Or is it basically your everyday experiences and a weight event? Or what is it?
Well, what it started out is because the reason I'm the main character was because when I first got into webcomics, the first comics I read were Penny Arcade and Mega Tokyo. And where the main characters were actually the people who were writing and drawing them. And I thought this is all that all that webcomics were comics drawn about the people who were doing them. And so I started out, I was going to do a comic with a friend of mine. He was going to write it, I was going to draw it. And I started Mike's Stupid Comics as an experiment to see if I could keep up with the format to make sure that I could keep it out on the days that it was due, to keep up with the schedule. And the writer of the other comic pulled out. And I was stuck with about 40 pages worth of content, and I wanted to do something new with my own story because what I'd been doing up to that point was based on literally what I'd been doing that day.
Right.
Right.
And
which isn't always bad, by the way. It can be good material, right?
Exactly. But the very early ones aren't the greatest thing. Like it's like, oh, I went to the movies today.
Right.
Here's a joke about that. right. But then what ends up happening is because this guy pulled out, I decided I wanted to do the story. That's where the walking pile of laundry comes in. And that's where the evil ex-best friend shows up.
Right.
And there's like corporations and cops and all kinds of crazy stuff flying around. And that all piled out of me wanting to do my own story. But everyone, when I decided to do a story comic, said, well, keep the characters that are already in it. We know these characters and we like them. And some of the people who said, you know, keep these characters were those characters because they were based on real people.
Don't cut me out.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've been doing it for about 7 years, and I'm actually working towards ending it to start a new comic that has nothing to do with myself or my friends.
So telling
my own stories based on, you know, without people.
Are you ever going to publish this as a graphic novel? I mean, you must have. I mean, if you've got 7 years of material, I can't imagine the number of pages that you would have.
I got about 500 pages.
Yeah.
The plan is that at some point, when it's done, that I'm going to start working on a book. The main reason that I haven't done it now is because when I got started, I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
It was the first time I'd ever touched Photoshop. It was the first time I'd have done anything else to that degree. So it's all terrible quality, the original strips. And
you don't say terrible quality.
I don't mean raw.
Or you say raw. Vintage.
Very raw.
All I'll say is if it was to be printed now in its current form, it would look very pixelated. So what I need to do is go back, clean it up, and make sure that it's high resolution so that when you get to it, it looks very nice and very crisp and clean. The stuff that I've been doing for the last 3 years, now that I know what I'm doing, that stuff's ready to go.
Right.
It's 250 pages before all that fix.
Okay.
Now I have to ask this. Sorry to interject here, guys, but is Laura a character in your comic?
She is in the comic. But she is not a main character.
He didn't mean it that way.
That may be how he first got me to date him.
We were talking.
I punched him in the face.
Yes, that's what happens in the comic, but she does do that in real life just as often.
Now, was it like true love at first sight from the punch in the face? You saw the knuckles coming out?
The potential of the relationship was right there on the paper.
There's nothing like true love in comics.
Wow, this guy didn't hit back. He's a keeper.
She hit me so hard I got knocked out in the comic.
Right. But then
she's unconscious. So
when are you going to close up mics?
It's all really going to depend on how quickly I can get it out. There's still a ways to go. I'm thinking it'll be either next fall. Next fall at the earliest, I'm thinking, is when it's going to end up. And then from there, I'm going to start working on another comic that I have an idea for called Unfed. Which is a zombie comic, but it focuses on the people who are absolutely useless. I mean, if you watch zombie movies, there's always that one character. He's a cop, ex-army guy.
Right.
He's a doctor, somebody useful.
Rick on The Walking Dead.
Exactly. But the point of Unfed is everyone is absolutely, positively useless. These are people who work in fast food, people who were lawyers that now, you know, what are they going to do against zombies? You know,
the
I don't file my taxes.
Eaten, right? The guys that are going to get eaten?
People who work at comic book stores.
I'd say they have a very good use for it.
They're good for zombies.
They are
food.
Fodder.
Yeah,
you may push them in front of the zombies to escape.
Oh, excellent. Now, Mike, you're a part of a website and a podcast called This Week in Geek.
Yes. We can go to thisweekingeek.net. We have a weekly podcast called the Nerd News. Which is similar to your industry news, where we just go on and we chat about what's the latest in nerdery.
Okay.
So it covers a variety of topics. We hit movies, we hit video games, TV, comics.
And now, do you have a particular topic that you tend to blog about, or is like, do you always stick with comics, or do you go with video games, or what's your forte?
I'm usually all over the place, but if you look at the news I talk about most, it's usually about PlayStation.
I
usually find something about PlayStation that's pretty interesting. It's their sales figures, their new controllers.
Right.
This is
PlayStation,
the rumor.
As in like PS.
PlayStation
3. PS3,
that kind of stuff.
All right. And so this site, what is it called?
ThisWeekInGeek.net.
ThisWeekInGeek.net. It covers a spectrum of pop culture.
Oh, yeah. We talk about everything. In addition to the weekly show where we talk about nerd news, we also have monthly topic shows where we pick a specific topic and we go on at length just about that one topic. Just last month, the October topic for Halloween was the Nightmare on Elm Street series, where we had a huge roundtable discussion about Nightmare on Elm Street. We actually had, if you're familiar with James Rolfe, who's the angry video game nerd, he came in because he's a big fan of the series. He talked with us about it. We also talked to some of the people from Never Sleep Again, which was the Nightmare on Elm Street documentary. So we talked about that. And this month's topic show, I believe we're talking about the DC animated universe, like Bruce Timm, the Justice League shows, that kind of stuff.
Seeing as you're a video game guy, have you seen the trailers for the DC
DC Universe Online?
Multiplayer, yep. Gigantic-on type.
The World of Warcraft
World
game.
World of Warcraft type game, but for DC. Mm-hmm. Have you seen those trailers?
I have seen those trailers.
And thoughts on that for our comic listenership?
I think the neatest aspect is it takes a concept like City of Heroes, where you get to create your own character, but you also team up with very well-known characters. Like the fact that you can team up with Superman and Batman is a really cool concept that, you know, the City of Heroes is missing. Like, you can team up with Patriot, who's like their Captain America ripoff, which is, well, you know, it's okay because you know it's supposed to be Captain America, but it's not Captain America. The fact that you can team up with Superman or, you know, Lex Luthor, if that's the way you want to go, but, I mean, that's a really cool concept.
But, I mean, those kind of things, you're not going to be able to do that right when you first start playing, right? Like, that's something that you're going to have to get to, like, level 1082, right?
Well, I don't know about that high, but you may your team-ups may start out fairly small. Like, I'm teaming up with Speedy
right now. Okay. And I'm teaming up with Aqualad.
Warrior 3.
Aqualad.
Warrior 3.
Wrong brand, wrong brand.
Oh, wrong thing. So. All right. So you guys podcast every week, right?
Yes.
So, hold on. So, okay, so if I could ask, maybe if you can have Chris and I, maybe if you can invite us on to
the
podcast.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, if you're going to be on our radio show.
that way we can plug our show on your podcast. What do you think?
I will talk to Mike Dodd, who is
executive
producer.
He said no.
I don't think this is very fair at all.
No,
it's great to have you on, Mike. Well, too bad we got to go.
Actually, I think we do got to go. Or somehow.
Do we? Is it time? Engineer? Yeah. Yep. James the Engineer. Oh, it says it's time. But you know what? In all seriousness, we do appreciate both of you being on our show. Once again, where can people look at Mike's Stupid Comics?
They can go to msc.biscuitpress.com or comicbookdaily.com. And there's also thisweekingeek.net.
Thisweekingeek.net. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike and Laura, for both of you guys for being on the show today. Walter, do you have any last comments or anything like that? No? Hold on. Oh, email. Jeez.
Our poor engineer James is lip-syncing email, guys. Email.
It's a good thing he's here.
All right.
Okay, well.
Chris, why don't you give
your email? I'll give it a shot because I tend to screw it up. But if you want to email us, please do so at walt@bigbcomics.com or chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca. Once again, we do appreciate your comments. Let us know how we're doing. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Please go and enjoy your comic book retailing day and support your local comic book retailer. Have yourself a great day.
See everyone next week.